21-1949, Ethanol Boosting System v. Ford Motor Company. Mr. Siegel?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Stephen Siegel. I'm here on behalf of Appellants Ethanol Boosting Systems, LLC, and Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I will reserve 4 minutes. We ask the Court to reverse and remand. This appeal concerns a single set of claim terms and a single claim construction question, which is whether the District Court erred in requiring and construing the directly injected fuel terms to require that the fuel that is used for direct injection be different from the fuel that is used for port injection. Although these terms, these directly injected fuel terms, are similar to the ones that were at issue in EBS 1, our prior appeal to this Court, the claim construction record before the Court today is substantially different and dispositive in our favor. Where the prior appeal concerned a 2004 parent application, this appeal concerns patents deriving from a 2005 continuation in part application, which recites substantial new matter, including new claims and critically new embodiments that expressly recite the direct and port injection of the same fuel. So the lone question here, of course, is whether the District Court's mutually exclusive fuels construction, as we refer to it, must be reversed in light of the different claims and different specifications presented in these continuation in part patents.
So do you think that's what's dispositive here, that there's a continuation in part that specifically includes same fuel embodiments?
Yes, Your Honor, with respect to, well, particularly with respect to Ford's, and Ford doesn't refer to them expressly as collateral estoppel, but with respect to sort of the notion that this court is bound by the prior ruling, we do think that the new specifications are dispositive on that issue.
If we took away all the new stuff and we were just left with the old stuff, would you have a different answer on the different fuel? Because a lot of the patent does seem to focus, including the title, about ethanol into a gasoline engine. And almost everything in that part is talking about different fuels. I didn't see any real references, even though the claims are certainly broad enough to include same fuel.
Certainly, Your Honor. And I think that there are two important distinctions here between this appeal and the prior appeal. One, of course, is that we do have a new specification, and I'm going to get into that in a second. And I think the second is also that we are not disputing the portion of the District Court's construction that requires that for the directly injected fuel, the fuel contain an anti-knock agent that is not gasoline. So we're consistent. Our proposed construction, which is to reverse the different fuels aspect of the District Court's construction, is consistent with all of those aspects of both this specification and the prior specification with reference to the use of ethanol in the direct injection system. But if I may briefly touch on the claim language, our first reason for reversal is simply the claim language itself, and I won't spend too much time here, given that Ford has conceded that the mutually exclusive fuels requirement finds no support in the language of the claims themselves.
But counsel, just so that I have it clear, if we accept your position and reverse the different fuels aspect, you're going to have a much broader claim, and you don't yet know what sort of problems with prior art you might encounter with the broader construction that you're asking for. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor. We are asking for the broader construction.
Yes.
We agree that the broader construction would apply, and that would be true for both, of course, infringement and invalidity, because, you know, claim construction is the same for both. So we agree that we would have a broader set of claim terms, even including for Ford's invalidity case against
us. Is it conceivable that the district court foresaw this possibility and was trying to provide a construction that could stand up against the prior art?
I suppose it's conceivable, but the district court has never actually looked at any of the references and never looked at the invalidity contentions were served in both cases, but there was never an instance in which they were filed with the court. Notices of filing and were served, but the actual references themselves were not presented. So I don't believe that in this instance the district court did actually evaluate any of the questions of obviousness and anticipation that Ford has preserved and may present in the future, but were not before the district court in any meaningful way. So I just wanted to sort of make clear that, you know, Ford agrees at page 44 of its brief that, that these claims are silent as to the specific fuel that is directly injected. And so there's no dispute that the claim terms are broad enough to encompass the construction that we're seeking. And I'd like to turn to the specification now because I think it is important and kind of critical in resolving this issue and in addressing the two, I think the two clearest embodiments that I think demonstrate the error of the district court's construction. And the first one is the embodiment that is at Appendix 287, which is the column 7 embodiment. And this one begins at line 10 of column 7 with a description of late injection of ethanol. That's direct injection of ethanol. The following paragraph begins at line 23, and it explains that in this instance, it is helpful to port inject quote, a modest fraction of the fuel, e.g. 25%, and, quote, which helps achieve desired combustion stability. And when stating what type of fuel may be port injected, the specification very explicitly states, quote, the port injected fuel can be either gasoline or ethanol, end quote. There's no question here that this discloses a embodiment in which the same fuel is both poured and direct injected, and this is an embodiment that would be excluded by the district court's construction. The second embodiment is the one that we addressed at column 3.
So before you move on, let me just stop you for a sec. It is possible, is it not, for gas engines, because you know the title of this patent is... direct injection ethanol enhancement of gasoline engines. So inherent in the nature of that title is this notion that gasoline, this is a gasoline engine. But is it correct from a technical standpoint to say that you could port inject 100% ethanol, no gasoline at all, into what is otherwise a gasoline engine and it's still gonna operate?
Yes, Your Honor, I think that is correct. I think when the title says gasoline engines, they're generally referring to a class of engines that are...
Yes, but even if that were a limitation, I guess, sure. Is what I'm saying. And I realize the words gasoline engine does not appear in Claim 1. But even if this spec as a whole were read to only apply in what are known to be traditional gasoline engines, a gasoline engine could still operate on 100% ethanol with no gas.
That is correct. That is correct, Your Honor. And it could do so, you know, obviously there
I'm just trying to make sure that the new matter that you added in the CIP, you know, isn't sort of somehow in conflict with other parts of the patent or doesn't represent an embodiment that would have to occur outside of a gasoline engine, for example.
Understood. And yes, I think that is correct that you could have a, you know, what is otherwise a 100% gasoline engine and then you could, as long as it was configured properly, following the teachings of the specification.
I have a snowblower at home, and my snowblower can operate on either gas or ethanol. If I use ethanol, it actually goes multiple seasons. It's cleaner and it's a little more efficient, but the engine itself can operate on either. That's kind of what made me think of my dumb question. Sorry.
Yeah, it's and Your Honor, it is. I would far be it for me to ever say that anything would be a dumb question from you. No, that is a very correct question, and I think it helps explain what is meant in the column 3 embodiment, which is the sort of the two alternative embodiments that are disclosed there. The first one being a predominantly direct injection of ethanol embodiment combined with a small amount of gasoline. That's at column 3, line 20. And then the following alternative embodiment that begins at line 33. And what this explains, of course, is that when you have a 100% ethanol engine, that is when you obtain, in the language of the patent, quote, obtain the highest possible octane enhancement while still maintaining combustion stability, end quote. And the reason for that is that you are directly injecting ethanol, which has a more efficacious evaporative cooling effect when it is used for direct injection, and you also have a higher octane fuel that is being used for port injection. So in that configuration, you have an engine that is basically the winner of the race. Even though there are other possible configurations.
Does there always have to be ethanol, or does... I don't know. You talk about ethanol is an anti-knock agent, and it seems like there always has to be an anti-knock agent. is there stuff other than ethanol that could serve as an anti-knock agent? Because the claim doesn't specifically cover ethanol.
Yes, Your Honor. Actually, at column 15, this is a appendix 285, at the last paragraph that carries over between columns 15 and 16, it begins saying, although the above discussion has featured ethanol as an exemplary anti-knock agent, the same approach can be applied to other high-octane fuels and fuel additives. And then it continues down in the carryover sentence. It says, quote, it may be advantageous to use various mixtures of these fuels and additives with each other and with ethanol. So there's
so
sort of a
did
big...
You, okay, did you concede earlier in this argument that Claim 1 does require that there be an anti-knock agent?
Yes, Your Honor. We're not disputing the portion of the district court's construction that says that the fuel that is directly injected must contain a fuel that isn't that... is an anti-knock agent.
Contains an anti-knock agent.
Yes.
Right, as part of it.
That's
so where, what just is, that doesn't flow from the claim language, right? Your arguments about why Claim 1 doesn't require, you know, two different fuels seem to be the same arguments that would support the notion that you would oppose the anti-knock agent. Am I wrong about that? Is there some language in Claim 1 that requires the anti-knock agent?
No, Your Honor, you are not wrong about that at all.
It's because of the whole of the specification and that's clearly the import of the invention. Is that why? Because isn't there a 100% gas embodiment?
There is a 100%. Yes, Your Honor, there is a 100% gasoline embodiment at column 12. But I think one of the reasons why we haven't focused on that embodiment, which is largely similar to a 100% gasoline embodiment from the original 2004 application, is because the new 100% ethanol embodiments show and demonstrate the sort of the substantial new matter that was added here to make clear that at a minimum the different fuels requirement was incorrect, even if we're not disputing.
So I just want to make sure I understand. The different fuel requirement was incorrect, but you're not disputing the portion of the construction that requires an anti-knock agent. And that would exclude the embodiment that appears in column 12 at line 25-ish from the scope of this claim, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I think the reason that we did so here is purely as a matter of convenience. It's not something that is essential to our case going forward. We haven't we have decided it was not necessary to address it here.
So where are you drawing the lines from the prior art? Mixtures, combinations of direct injection and port injection are well known. Use of ethanol, even 100% ethanol and 100% gasoline on the other side, they're known. This is all in the prior art. Combinations of the two are known. Using at least methanol with ethanol is elsewhere in the prior art. So you're asking for a breadth that seems to overlap, if not totally embrace, what's already known.
Respectfully, Your Honor, although we will, of course, address this at the appropriate time if we are able to sort of proceed forward in this case on our invalidity defenses or our objections to Ford's invalidity defenses, I think respectfully what is novel about this patent is not the inclusion of ethanol necessarily as part of the sort of general use of fuels in the invention. What is novel is combining two separate fueling methodologies in a particular way such that the benefits of each system are used and maximized when used in combination and in varying proportions and ratios over the course of the drive cycle.
I didn't understand that answer. I thought it was anti-knock and direct injection. I thought that was kind of the... That's what I walked away from. No, that's not the invention here?
No, Your Honor. Respectfully, I think that the critical aspect of this invention, and this is reflected in the column 7 embodiment too, is this notion that certain fractions of fuel, as between the direct and port injection systems, are used differently, and the benefits of each system are different. Direct injection provides for evaporative cooling, which permits greater efficiency, permits greater downsizing and higher compression ratios, particularly at higher torques. Port injection provides for more homogeneous mixtures and better mixing, which is better at lower torques and is much a preferable approach for emissions. These are all described in column one through three as the benefits of each type of fueling system. And so by combining them together, what you have is the ability to maximize
but
the benefits.
But that's the invention. The claim construction you're asking for claim one, is so much broader than that. Like, I mean, you're going to live and die by your choices, you know, but...
Respectfully, Aaron, I think that claim one and all of the claims actually recite precisely this, which is the direct injection of a fuel.
Are you saying, this is what I think you're saying, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the one or two fuels isn't really relevant to the invention per se, it's just the construction requiring two fuels was too narrow. The invention is all this modeling you've done to achieve proper maximization at different torques and different whatever levels of functions in the engine, and sometimes you use more in the port injected and sometimes less, and I'm not an auto mechanic or even a mechanical engineer, but isn't that basically you've done really complicated modeling, computer modeling, to come up with the different points at the engine's operating to operate most efficiently?
Yes,
it's not deciding to use one or two fuels. That's just something that is part of the background.
That is correct, Your Honor. That is precisely right. It is the modeling that has determined.
That explains why I couldn't understand large parts of this patent, because it's about complex modeling and engine operation.
It is. I have spent many years with this patent, and it has taken me a very long time to understand surface level. But Your Honor, you hit it on the head, which is it is about those particular configurations, not necessarily the use of one or two fuels, which is why we believe that the different fuels construction not only is incorrect, but...
And you think those configurations... Look, I know this is way off topic for this case, but you think those configurations would be brought into the claim through the limitations like spark injection engine configured to operate at a certain air fuel ratio, and you think, you know, is that right? Are the configurations you're talking about going to be brought into the claim through the other limitations?
Yes. So if you take just as an example, I'll use. We recite, I think, the full text of Claim 1. I have it on my cover sheet. So the full text of Claim 1 of the 580 patent has a series of torque ranges at which the different fueling systems are operable, not operable, or when they are operating together, operating with a preference towards one fueling system versus the other. So this is the configurations. When we speak about configurations, these are the configurations that we are talking about.
Okay, well, you've used all your time, your rebuttal time, so let's hear from Mr. Khan, please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. This is Mike Connor for Ford Motor Company. May it please the court. I think it helps when looking at this patent, Your Honor, to step back and look at the timeline on which the original application, parent application, was applied for in November of 2004. And then only about 5 months later, in April 2005, the inventors came back and filed this continuation in part application. The 2004 application was the subject of the prior litigation and the prior appeal to this court. It was entitled Fuel Management System for Variable Ethanol Octane Enhancement of Gasoline Engines. And it disclosed and discussed at length the use of two fueling systems. That same structure is carried over into the disclosure of this case, which was filed 5 months later and is entitled Optimized Fuel Management System for Direct Injection Ethanol Enhancement of Gasoline
Engines.
Let's
talk about the substance.
And in the...
And this, after all, this could just be workload backlog as to why there was a five-month difference. Is your understanding that it is novel to use both direct injection and port injection at the same time?
No, I don't believe that's, my personal opinion, I don't believe that's novel, Your Honor. I don't think that's what the patent says, and I don't think it's novel. Sorry?
What is the distinction from what your opponent is arguing?
What the patent says, we believe, Your Honor, where we believe they're wrong, is the use of two fueling systems. You're having different fuels. So you have one fuel in one system and one fuel in another system. One uses direct injection, one uses port injection.
Well, that's what the district court thought.
Yes.
But there is something to be said for the generalizations in the specification. So where is the boundary?
Well, the generalizations in the specification were described by opposing counsel as embodiments or configurations, and they're not that at all, Your Honor. I mean, these are system claims. And the specification describes an engine or a fuel management system, and that's what the claims require. And so the question is, what do the claim limitations require the system to do? And the system has to be, according to the specification, the clear and the consistent and exclusive description of the specification, the system has to be provided with two fuels.
Where does it say that? Where in the spec?
Well, it says, for example, in the background of the invention. This invention relates to...
Column and line number, please.
I'm sorry. 31 through about 30...
I'll assume you're at column 1.
In column 1. This invention relates to an optimized fuel management system for use with spark ignition gasoline engines in which an anionic agent, which is a fuel, is directly injected into a cylinder of the engine.
Okay, so that's talking about how there has to be an anti-knocking agent. That doesn't say anything about how there has to be two separate fuels. So where else?
I think the... Well, if you look at the drawings, Your Honor, the figures.
What figure? Because you said it's not in the claims, but it's in the spec, and the spec makes it clear, so show me where.
Well, for example, in figure 5, you have one embodiment that shows a flexible fuel tank where you have two fuels, an ethanol fill and a gasoline fill. There's a deformable wall between the two, and there are two feeds that lead to the engine.
Okay, so there's one picture with one embodiment, and there are many embodiments disclosed in this patent, but there's one picture with one embodiment that happens to have two fuel tanks. That language doesn't appear in this claim. There's nothing in this claim that suggests that the system has to have two fuel tanks, and there's nothing anywhere in this whole patent that requires two fuel tanks.
Well, I think the only embodiments that are disclosed in the specification, Your Honor, do have either two fuel tanks or a separator of fuels. There's no discussion of mixing of fuels and injecting that mixture or the same fuel, a single fuel, into an engine. It's always...
Is there any limitation in the claim that requires two fuel tanks as part of the system?
Not fuel tanks. We're not importing limitations from the specification into the claim, but there is a limitation that requires two distinct different fuels.
Where? Which claim limitation?
The claim limitation as they've been construed, Your Honor, based on the specification.
Which claim limitation?
Well, the claim limitation, the terms at issue, Your Honor, require...
Which term? Which claim limitation? Say the words.
Sure. Directly injected fuel, direct injection of fuel, fueling that is provided by the first fueling system, fueling from the first fueling system.
I don't even know what claim are you reading from, because those words don't appear in claim 1. So what claim, what language in claim 1?
Claim 1 is 580.
Okay, of the, which patent? You're on 519, 580, which one? 580. You're on claim 1 of the 580, is that correct?
Claim 1 of the 580,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the word in the claim?
Sure. So you have a first fueling system that uses direct injection.
Yes, a fueling system that uses direct injection. Where in that language does it specify what type of fuel must be used?
I think you only get that from reading the specification, Your Honor.
Okay, so there is no claim limitation. So what in the specification? I asked you to show me before, and you showed me a sentence that says there has to be an anti-knocking agent. That didn't do it. And then you showed me a picture that shows two different tanks.
No, and
that doesn't do it. So what is it?
Yes, Your Honor. There's also claim figure 4. Which also shows separation of ethanol from gasoline, two different embodiments.
Where does figure 4 show that? I'm looking at figure 4.
Figures 4A and 4B both show an ethanol separator. You see in 4A, gasoline tank, a gasoline pump, an ethanol separator where you're, then you have a two lead lines, one to an ethanol tank, and then to an ethanol pump to the engine, and one above from the separator feeding gasoline to the engine.
Okay, so again, we have an embodiment that shows two tanks, which is, we all agree, not one of the claim limitations. But you think because the embodiment shows two tanks, despite nowhere it's saying the present invention must include two tanks, the present invention is two tanks, none of the kind of language that is are the magic words that traditionally cause us to import limitations into a claim have been cited by you anywhere. You just think this picture, because it shows two tanks in one embodiment, necessarily means the entire patent is limited to that?
Well, Your Honor, I think, if we look through the figure one, for example, shows predictions from computer modeling of the advantage of ethanol injection.
Look, there's no doubt almost all of this patent, except for the continuation parts, talk about using ethanol with gasoline. The question is not whether the embodiments they talk about and the main point of this, or the main discussion of this, is ethanol with gasoline. It's whether it is restricted to ethanol and gasoline, particularly with the continuation in part that has an ethanol-only model.
Well, the continuation in part does not actually have an ethanol-only model, Your Honor. I think that sentence is being those sentences that counsel has cited
read
out of context.
Let's just leave aside the continuation, though. What about this crosses the line from being this is the focus of the invention to the invention is limited to, when the limited to language you want is not in the claims?
Well, for example, Your Honor, looking at the background of the invention again, in column one, lines 48 through 50, you have a description concerning the new calculations that were arrived at in that five-month period, apparently. And it claims that, describes that the model determines the effect of direct injection of ethanol on the occurrence of NOx for different times of injection in mixtures for port fuel injected gasoline. So here we have direct injection of ethanol with port fuel injection of gasoline. That's what the specification states. If I move on to column two, there's a discussion at lines 64 to 66 that the evaporative cooling of the cylinder air fuel charge can be very large with appropriate direct injection of the anti-knock agent.
You're now reading from the preferred embodiments section, right?
That is one of the preferred embodiments, yes.
Right. I mean, is there any suggestion that this wouldn't work if you have the direct injection with the anti-knock agent being the same thing as the port-injected agent?
Well, the question is...
Look, I understand where you're coming from. Almost all of this discussion of the invention and the embodiment is talking about using some kind of ethanol with an anti-knock agent as a direct injection, I think, and correct me if I'm getting this wrong, and gasoline as the port injected fuel. That's what this is discussing throughout. The question is it limited to that, particularly when it's most of that discussion outside of some references in the background section are in a discussion of the preferred embodiment, which is never enough to limit it, or almost never enough.
Yeah, well, except to where it's a consistent and exclusive feature of what is described. And I think it is a consistent and exclusive feature of what is described that you have two fueling systems, Your Honor. Nowhere is there a discussion of a single fueling system, Your Honor, or an engine with a single fueling
system. Wait, so here I'm getting confused by this one fueling system versus two fueling
yes.
system discussion. I thought this was all about the fueling systems being injected at different points. And so even if you have two fueling systems, can't they be injecting to the same thing into the different points of the engine? It seems to me that the whole point of this patent is about balancing the two different injection points. It doesn't really have much to do with the specific types of fuel used.
I think if you look at the disclosure, Your Honor, we believe it shows injection of ethanol in order to achieve a direct injection of ethanol in order to achieve a benefit of evaporative cooling.
Well, that's certainly the preferred embodiment. But
And it does, if I may continue, Your Honor, it does say that at different points in a drive cycle, you can adjust the fractions, right? You can put in more ethanol, you can put in less ethanol, you can put in some in port injection, you can put in some in direct.
Is it fair to say everybody agrees, because he did agree, that a knocking agent, and we'll just say it's ethanol for now,
okay,
that a knocking agent has to be what is directly injected. Does everybody agree with that? Has to be a knocking agent that's directly.
I think that's part of the construction is not contested by the appellants, I believe.
Right, and we all agree. So you agree with that. So
yes.
Ethanol can be what is directly injected, and that's not appealed by anybody. I don't say it has to be ethanol. It has to be a knocking agent, right?
That's there's some other set of knocking agents described.
Okay, so then really what this comes down to, this case, is what is the fuel that has to be or can be port injected? Because everybody has agreed that ethanol or some knocking agent must be included in what is directly injected. That's not contested. So the question for you is, why can't what is port injected be the exact same composition that is in fact direct injected?
Well, there have to be... the issue is that there have to be two different fuels, Your Honor, to be consistent with the specification.
No. That's not what she's asking. She's asking is why, what in the specification or the claims suggests that it can't be ethanol that's port injected too?
It's not a question of whether ethanol can be, if you have an engine, a system that meets the limitations of these claims, it's not a question of whether it can at some point inject ethanol. That's not excluded.
What about column 7,
yes,
line 27? The port injected fuel can be either gasoline or ethanol. We all agree ethanol or some other knocking agent is what has to be direct injected. You're saying what has to be port injected has got to be a different fuel from what is direct injected.
Yes.
But this specification says you can port inject ethanol.
At a point in the drive cycle, that's possible. It doesn't say that, remember, these are system claims, not method claims. And so the system has to be designed, it has to be built in such a way that you have the two different fuels that are different to each other. Now, at some point in the drive cycle, what this says is, under certain conditions, at some point, you can inject either gasoline or ethanol through port injection. It says that. If you read that in context of the preceding two paragraphs, it's talking about timing of the direct injection, whether you have early injection or late injection and of ethanol, and whether you have advantages or disadvantages of early and late injection. That's what they found through their computer modeling. And they say that in this paragraph at column 7, line 23.
But your construction would require two separate fuels.
Yes.
What this specification allows for is a system which is capable of, at some point in its operation at least, direct injecting ethanol and also port injecting ethanol.
We've never said that you could not have it. That's not excluded by the district court's construction. You could have an engine that does that as long as it does the other, which is to have two different fuels injected by the two different systems. The idea here is that these fuel ratios can be adjusted depending on different points of the cycle, different demands, different loads on the engines, high speed, low speed, high load conditions of the engine, maybe cold start. There are different conditions under which these engines operate, and these ratios can be adjusted. And that's what the computer modeling showed, and that's what the specification describes. It doesn't describe a different embodiment or configuration. The only embodiment or configuration that's disclosed in this patent specification throughout, as Your Honor noted, is consistently one that has two fueling systems, two fuels. And those two fuels can be adjusted in extreme conditions at the high end of the operation or the low end of the operation.
What's the basis for the non-infringement stipulation here?
I'm sorry?
Didn't they stipulate to non-infringement under this construction?
They did stipulate that Ford's products do not infringe under this. The accused Ford products do not infringe under the stipulation.
And so yours, because yours used only one type of fuel?
Correct.
What is it? What kind of fuel does it use?
Gasoline. Now there are.
What's the anti-knock agent then?
The.
It's not a fuel. it's something else?
In the accused infringing engines? Well, there's no separate anti-knock agent. There are fuels that are used with Ford engines. You could go to the station and buy pure gasoline. You can go to the station and buy a mixture of gasoline and ethanol. You see that oftentimes, Your Honor. I think it's called E85. There are other versions that are out there, but that's not what this patent talks about. This patent doesn't talk about just having the coffee and milk analogy that is used in the appellant's brief. It never says that you can have a mixture and just inject that mixture into the system, the same mixture, into both the direct and the port injection.
Counsel, I don't think that you were accurate. I'm looking at the district court's order, which I assume to be what you proposed, the language you proposed, since it says proposed order and the word proposed is just crossed off. So did you draft this order or somebody on your team draft this order?
I certainly had a hand in it, Your Honor. Yes.
Okay. So look at the construction.
You can see it. What page you on?
23.
Page 23.
Fuel as used in these directly injected first fueling systems is construed as a fuel that contains an anti-knock agent that is not gasoline. Okay, that's fine. It's ethanol or some anti-knock agent. And that is different from the full fuel used for port injection. So I don't think you're correct. When you said to me the district court's construction wouldn't preclude a system which sometimes operates with ethanol in direct and ethanol in port, I don't think that's actually right, because I think this construction does directly preclude that.
Oh, I think it doesn't, Your Honor. I think, in fact, it...
is different from the fuel used for port injection. So if this system is operating by injecting ethanol in the port injection process, and it's also injecting ethanol in the direct injecting process, how does that meet the district court's they have to be different fuels requirement?
The system, Your Honor, has to be... the claims require a system in which the fuel that is injected is different from the fuel used for port injection.
So you're saying the fuel that's directly injected can't be a mix of ethanol and gas? It just has to be ethanol only?
No, I'm not saying that. It could be a mixture. In fact, as the specification talked about, a mixture of different compounds. So you could have...
But it can't be a mixture of ethanol and gas.
It can't be the same fuel...
Answer the question. It can't be a mixture of ethanol and gas if the port fuel is gas.
If the port fuel is a mixture... The directly injected fuel could be a mixture of ethanol and gas if the port fuel is gas, because they would be different.
Okay, well, I think your time is up. Let's hear from opposing counsel. Since you went 4.5 minutes over, I'll restore a little bit of his rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Give him 4 minutes, John Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, I only have a few short points in rebuttal. The first is with respect to the argument that these are systems. I think Your Honors have identified that, you know, and our primary response to their argument that two fuel tanks and fuel separation mechanisms are required is that those are not claimed. And in fact, there are examples of ways to claim that exact circumstance, which is a different fuel from a different fuel source, in the prosecution history of the patent that they assert as part of their prosecution history disclaimer argument, which I can direct you to at Appendix 4015. These claims recite a means for port fueling the engine with gasoline from the first source, a means for direct injecting alcohol from a second source. So these are claims where you are actually embracing the descriptions and the embodiment of the systems that Ford is implicitly trying to pull into the directly injected fuel terms themselves. The second is with respect to counsel's argument that a consistent and exclusive description in the embodiment is in the specification is sufficient to limit otherwise broad claim terms. That is incorrect. This court's precedent has been very clear in delineating between those circumstances where there is even where there are consistent and exclusive discussions of an embodiment, and has held the line that that alone is not sufficient to limit otherwise broad claim terms. It is only when it crosses the line into what this court held in Trustees of University of Columbia that those descriptions are accompanied with, quote, clear limiting descriptions, end quote, of the claim term at issue that are sufficient to bring it over into a circumstance where the patentee has narrowed the definition of the claim term in the specification. Finally, I'd like to address the drive cycle point, which is that my colleague has stated with respect to the column 7 embodiment that this is a circumstance where the port injected fuel can be switched between ethanol and gasoline over a drive cycle. That is not in that portion of the specification. It's nowhere in that embodiment. And in fact, there is actually no discussion, and I verified this to make sure I was correct, there's no discussion in the specification of multiple fuel injectors when used for port injection, in contrast to the various discussions of multiple fuel injectors being used for direct injection. So I don't even think that there is any embodiment that is disclosed in this specification that refers to the ability to switch fuel types with respect to port injection. So to the extent that counsel has made arguments about the drive cycle, the fact that this can switch between gasoline and ethanol for port injection over a drive cycle, that is inconsistent with the specification, both with respect to the embodiment here in column 7 as well as in column 3. If there are no further questions, I will leave the remainder of my time.
I thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.